Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
A lot of topics, starting with the Redskins. Actually, before that, let's talk about the cold weather, because I went outside today at 3:30. My dog was pissing me off. She was barking at something at 2:30. Got up, you know, making sure she was fine. Got up at 3:30, went out and started the car, let that car run for about a half hour. It was warm and toasty when
How much gas do you go through?
I don't know, but I can't get in. You're different. I can't get into a cold car. I've got to be in a warm car.
I don't enjoy it. There's actually a feature that my car has where you're supposed to be able to sort of pre-warm it. You set it. It has a timer.
And I would use that all day long.
I try to do it, and I'm not very effective at it. I think because I leave at different times, and I don't know. It doesn't seem to work that great for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I may not be doing it well. But I can't go out there and then let it run for a half hour. First of all, I would just feel bad about the gas I'm burning.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be burning at least a gallon of gas.
Probably. But for me, it's worth it because, like I said, I'm just miserable if I get into a cold car.
But don't you have heated seats?
I've got the heated seats.
And do you have heated steering wheel? Doesn't have a heated steering wheel?
No.
Heated steering wheel is huge.
My steering wheel is not heated.
But either way, usually it takes about 3 or 4 minutes for the car to kind of heat up and be palatable.
Oh, I'm sure it does. But, you know, just so I know that when I get into that car, it's going to
be
warm
toasty.
And toasty, I go out there and I let it warm
up.
Well,
how brutal is the walk? I mean, we only park a block away, but I find that walk from the parking lot to the building brutal on days like this.
Oh, it's awful.
I mean, my car
especially on a windy morning.
My car said 7 degrees.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was true. By the time I got here, it said 12 degrees. Jason said it's going to be like 9, and it's going to be real windy this weekend.
It's going to be frigid.
This is just the worst time of the year. It's not
well,
fun.
Well, January is just a depressing month for me because the holidays are over. You know, the only thing to kind of get you through it is you got the NFL playoffs. But it's just, the weather sucks. It's cold every single day. It's a brutal, depressing
I don't know
month.
How it is for you, but my wife's been sick. So she's like coughing, hacking up a lung every day. She's got chest congestion, head congestion.
Mm-hmm.
My kids have been fighting little things.
Oh, everybody's sick.
It's just not fun. I don't like to be outside when it's cold like this. I mean, I saw somebody, I think it was just in Detroit. It wasn't like it was local, but somebody did freeze to death.
Well, it was probably some homeless man.
Yeah,
He was out in front of some building, just froze. Can you imagine?
Yeah, no.
I mean, if you're homeless,
you have to go to a shelter.
You would have to be, or just go into a McDonald's. I don't know, hide in the McDonald's or something.
Well, I don't know if they let you linger there.
You can't just stay out in front of a building.
Well, you can't survive.
Right.
You can't survive.
Unless you go to a shelter.
You have to have a shelter, or even if I had 100 blankets, it would be miserable.
I don't think 100 would even help.
It's so bad.
January's awful. Drabby and Valdez back together for so Drabby was in Seattle, I believe, over the holidays, right?
I was, yeah. Spokane.
I saw some video. Were you on sort of like snowmobile or something, or four wheeler or something? What were you? You tweeted something.
Vehicle,
yeah. Was that at your parents' house?
Yeah, it just snows every day in Spokane, so they have a snowplow like on an ATV.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just doing a no days off bit on Christmas.
I don't get that.
That's Bill Belichick's thing when they won the Super Bowl. He
so you were just grinding?
I did nothing for 10 days.
You were acting like you were, what, cleaning the driveway?
Yeah, I was sitting in the passenger seat as my dad did all the work.
Yeah. Seems like quite the estate your parents have there.
They have a nice house. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Well,
so you were there for, home. 7, 8 days?
Eight days, yeah.
Were you bored at any stretch?
I mean, yeah, bored. You can't go outside.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was cold here. It was like 5 degrees there. It's Christmas. Everything's closed.
Right.
So what do? You and your girlfriend just hang out and yell at each other?
We don't yell at each other.
What do you guys do?
We hang out and stare at each other.
It is his wife, by the way.
Yeah, my wife. Yeah, whatever wife. She is.
I don't know.
Unless he's got a girlfriend I don't know about.
No, I do not.
No. So who all stays there?
At my parents' house?
Yeah.
My wife and I and my brothers and their wives and kids.
Like, so
it's not
literally like 12 to 15 people. Probably more than that if all the kids are involved.
I think on Christmas there was like 25 people there.
No, but like on a regular.
10?
10 people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not bad. I think it's for me. I enjoy being around family. If it's a family thing, I'm all in.
A week is perfect.
Yeah, sure.
Come Saturday, it was nice to come home.
Were you?
Yeah. Were you really?
A week is a long time to be away from your stuff.
Well, no, I mean, look, there's nothing like being in your own bed. I'll say that, but I know you're not looking forward to coming back and getting up at 4 a.m.
Valdez didn't do anything, right? You just hung out. Oh, I feel bad for you and the Ravens. I was actually thinking I was going to root for the Ravens. I actually was. I was rooting for them down the stretch there.
Typically do in the playoff.
Yeah. Is kind of adopt them.
Yeah, well, I guess.
I was thinking about you, too, because, first of all, and I think you would agree with me, it's just that's one of the worst choke jobs you'll ever find in the NFL, especially in a game where it's you win and you're in the playoffs. You know, it's one thing to lose in week six like that, but when you have to win against a team that doesn't have anything to play for, whose coach may not be there next year, that's just an fourth and 12 to allow a 50-yard touchdown.
I'd argue last year was a similar choke job.
Yeah,
that was just as brutal.
Yeah, but God, man, what a way to lose. Especially since Flacco was so bad in the first. He was awful in the first half. Then they turned it around. They looked decent in the second half, started moving the ball, and took the lead.
Put up 27 points.
Yeah, they took the lead. And then on a fourth and 12, oh, my God. I mean, you just can't allow it.
Yeah.
You just can't allow that.
It's the second straight year that a team has marched on the Ravens' defense with a minute to go. And if they would have won, they would have made the playoffs. It happened at Pittsburgh. That would have won the division last year.
Uh-huh.
That was when they reached over the goal line.
Right, right.
The Ravens ran it in. I think Ben marched in like a minute 30. And then you let Dalton do that.
Who do you blame?
Secondary
wasn't very good.
Probably the defense.
Yeah. How about the penalties on the last drive?
There's a lot of warts with the team. And they probably shouldn't have gone to the playoffs to begin with. They got hooked on their schedule.
They did. Their schedule was a joke.
Because they saw teams at the right time. They faced the carless Raiders. They saw Houston without Watson.
They got hooked.
Indy without Luck. Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. And they got
hooked.
And know what? Even though Dalton was playing, they should have beat Dalton.
Yeah, they should have won.
You got to beat Dalton. I'm sorry. At home, you got to. I know the weather sucked. It was cold.
So what
was
ended
windy.
Up happening with the bet? Did the bet end up a wash?
That was a push.
Yeah,
that's the happiest loss Jason's ever seen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was
fist pumping?
No, because I had the Ravens in a moneyline parlay with the Vikings. I was pissed.
It sucks. And the worst part about it is if they would have made the playoffs, I actually think that they would have been pretty under the radar in terms of
momentum
in the AFC. Yeah, they had a lot of momentum.
They've
done it before.
Would they have played Jacksonville?
No, they would have played
in Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Oh, okay, all right.
So
well, certainly we know the Redskins aren't going to be involved.
Thank God the Hawaii swing of the PGA starts this week.
That's right.
Get you something to get fired up about.
Yeah. That's right. Tournament of the century.
Primetime golf. Sized.
But here we are. We're 10 minutes in the show. We haven't even mentioned that disaster with the Redskins on Sunday against a woeful Giants team. It was what I was afraid of. I mean, I thought we were going to win. I was kind of counting the win all along. And then, you know, towards the end of the week last week when I was doing the show with JP, I started to say publicly, you know, this is starting to scare me because I'm just counting this up as a win. I'm chalking this up as an 8-8. Everyone's talking about the three straight non-winning seasons, and you still had some work to do. And the one thing you were kind of afraid of was maybe a dud. It was maybe that last game dud there, and it happened. And, you know, whatever, it didn't matter. They weren't going to the playoffs either way. But it does just leave a different taste in your mouth when you lose like that. You can play the sad Redskins. It deserves it, as we kind of recap it a little bit. I know.
Yeah, I mean, you end of the year like that. You just 7-9 just looks a lot different than 8-8.
8-8 just have a better feel, you know, for it when you win your last three, even though they were against some pretty terrible opponents. But you expected to beat them. You should have beat them. And unfortunately, certainly for radio talk show guys like us that have to sort of debate what's going to happen here and go through all the different possibilities over the next 4 or 5 months. Kirk having his worst game as a Redskin didn't help at all either. The three interceptions were just woeful, just a bad football game. I don't know if the cold weather factored into it. I don't know.
I'm sure it wasn't fun. I mean, it was windy
and cold.
Looked
miserable out there. I'm sure, you know, he was pressing, just trying to make something happen. The guys couldn't. I was just shocked at how bad the offense looked. But it is what it is.
You know, Kirk historically does not play well against the Giants. He's had a couple of nice games, but I believe he's 3-5 in his career against the Giants, and he's got 13 picks in those 8 games. So historically, he's not good, and he's not good up there.
Yeah, I guess.
But, you know,
maybe they just have his number.
We can also chalk it up to, like you said, weather was certainly a factor. No one wanted to be out there.
Didn't help that they lost Ty Nsekhe early, and then they had to put in Tyler
Catalina. Catalina was just a sieve.
He was struggling, and, you know, Kirk was having a hard time getting the ball downfield. When he did, he forced it and threw interceptions. Just an ugly, ugly football game. A terrible way to end the season. And while it doesn't change my opinion at all on the quarterback situation, I think I think he's our guy. I think you got to find a way to keep him. But, you know, for some people, it reinforces their notion that he's not the right guy. So, you know, I see that argument. I understand it. I think he's the best quarterback we've had in 25 years. But, God, what a terrible time to play your worst game as a Redskin. And not that it mattered. Didn't have anything riding on it. But just an ugly, ugly football game that leaves you with absolutely no momentum going into the offseason. And, in fact, I was driving this morning, I heard a national guy saying he was kind of surprised that Jay Gruden still had his job today.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, if you look around the league at some of the coaches that were dismissed, all right, some of these coaches did a lot more with their teams than Gruden has.
Even Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, I mean, Caldwell's had a winning record, went to the playoffs a couple of times. Obviously, Del Rio. If Gruden wasn't in play there, maybe he still has a job. But Gruden won, or Del Rio won 12 games 2 years ago.
But then, by the same token, you get a guy like Hugh Jackson, who's 1-31.
Yeah,
and he's coming back. And he looks like he's coming back. So there are some head scratchers there. Jason Garrett, of course, he struggled there in Dallas, but he seems to have the support of Jerry Jones. I'm really surprised Dirk Cutter's keeping his job in Tampa, but he seemed to get, I guess. The sign from the ownership there that they're going to give him another run at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not surprised that Jay Gruden still has his job right now. But when you have a dud like that on Sunday to end your season, you can see why people nationally start to question.
But like you said, and they were flashing the graphics during the game, but all of the injuries that the Skins had during the year, I believe second most to maybe the Giants.
So the number going in, I think, was the third most injuries. They had 20 on IR, yeah. 10 of whom had started games. 8 of them, I believe, started from week one. There were devastating injuries. They didn't lose their quarterback, though. Kirk, I think, is the first Redskins quarterback in history to start 3 straight seasons without missing a game. So he showed his durability and his toughness.
But they were down to their fifth running back.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, Bibbs is their fifth running back.
No doubt.
Maybe they're 6. I might be forgetting one.
And so much movement in along the offensive line, different guys at different times. I don't know. What was Tyler Catalina? Was he a third or fourth left tackle that they'd put in there at this point?
I want to say fourth.
He might have been their fourth. So that doesn't help at all. No running game to speak of. The wide receiver thing was a joke. We all had huge expectations. Everybody knows it, for Terrell Pryor and Josh Doctson. Doctson ends up the season with this sort of enigma with 35 catches on about 50, 60 targets. A lot of drop balls. A lot of balls there where you thought he should have come up with them. And then Terrell Pryor was just a big bust. Just didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. And so, well, I didn't really have a problem with trying to move on from Deshaun and Pierre. They were not replaced. There's no question about it.
And then
defensively, we had big expectations. We had a new D coordinator. And while it's weird at times against some bad teams, they played okay. But at the end of the day, they're right there at the bottom of the pack in points allowed. And, you know, they were a sieve and couldn't stop teams when they had to.
Yeah, that's got to improve big time, too.
So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think they can move on from the coordinator. It's very rare where you have a guy, give him 1 year and blow him out. It's just not a good look for anybody.
But the biggest question, of course, is what is going to happen with Kirk. And then we've entered that zone now for the next, 8 months. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? And that's the biggest question.
I legitimately have no idea what's going to happen. I assume that they will tag him of some sort, mm-hmm. and try to keep him here for another year at least, give it one more run at it. If they were going to blow out Jay, which I don't think they are, if they were going to do that, then I would just say, let's just start over from scratch. But I don't think they're going to do that.
No.
I think they're going to give this crew one more run at it. But who knows? I have no idea. And I'm tired of debating it, to be honest with you. If they decide they're going to let the, Pro Bowl caliber quarterback go in the prime of his career, fine, so be it. We'll go. We want to roll the dice with Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, one of those jokers.
You kind of wonder, Darnold's so not ready for the NFL.
I don't think Rosen is. I don't think any of those young guys are.
You kind of wonder what's going through Bruce Allen's head, after a game like that, because you would assume anybody with a brain in their head would know that Kirk Cousins is the guy. You just have to surround them with some better pieces, certainly get healthier, but you never know. I mean, it's a business, so you don't know what's going through Bruce's head. Does Bruce say, yeah, he's good, and we'd like to have him at a lower price, or does he actually think, we can't win with him? And that's the question for Bruce
Allen. The only good news of this offseason, the end of the season there, is there's been some reporting that there might be a little thawing there, sort of, or I don't know what the correct phrase is, but that maybe Dan's not as quite as hung up on insisting that Bruce must be a part of the equation.
Mm.
That's some sort of some reporting that's been out there over the last couple of weeks. If that's the case, that gives us a little hope. Because Dan Snyder's not going anywhere. But if we can lose Bruce here in the next year or two, that'd be a huge win. That's the next best thing.
So you're saying that there's some rumors out there that he would actually let him go?
There's some rumblings, yeah, that he's not quite as secure as everyone thinks. At some point, 9 years in, that you know, Dan's going to look at your record, too, and say, okay, not really working here. Mm. So at some point, you know, I don't think he's critical to getting a new stadium the way some other people think. I think other people could do that job.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what, Redskins fans would be singing in the streets if Bruce Allen was fired.
Yeah, but you still got the number one bad guy still there, but it'd be the next best thing. There's no question about it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So Jason had been talking about Molly's game for a few months, and I talked about it last week that I saw it, and I had some reservations about it. There were some cheesy elements to it that have made me a little wary, but I overall really, really love the movie. You're going to try to see it, I think, today. We're going to hopefully get Molly on this week because she's friends with our guy, the Bellman.
Ryan
the Bellman.
Yep.
Because that game used to be played at his hotel.
Yep.
And so he knows Molly real well, and he's given Jason Molly's number. They've been texting a little bit. If we can get her on the show this week, it'll be really, really good. I think you'd be so excited. So I didn't realize it's only in like 250 theaters right now.
It's not playing anywhere in Loudoun County, so I have to see it in Tyson's Corner today, which is fine because it's on my way home.
Right.
But I'm going to see the 10:30 show. But
you're going to like it.
Well, I think really I'm going to like it. I told you when I first saw the previews, I don't know, it was probably in November.
Mm-hmm.
When I first saw the trailers for it, I thought, you know, it was certainly up your alley, and it's up my alley as well. And I love Chastain. I don't know how good she is in this movie, but
she's
I really
awesome.
Like her. And so when I found out that Ryan knew Molly Bloom, I said, all right. He goes, she's really excited to come on. He gave me the number. Actually, she just texted me back. I just got to figure out what day we're going to do. I'm trying to think maybe Thursday. What do you think, Thursday or Friday?
Well, any day's fine with me. I mean, I've seen it. I've actually contemplated seeing it again, but it's so effing expensive to go to the theater. I did the whole bit. I mean, I went by myself. It was $16 for the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and then it was $14 because I had to get my popcorn and Diet Coke. It was $30 to go see that dumbass movie. Now, you don't see it. You don't eat or drink anything. You're able to somehow. You go to the dollar store or something, get some licorice. I don't know what you do.
No, I don't even do that.
Get Twizzlers or something.
I usually just go in there
and sit there
empty-handed.
I can't do that.
I just got my phone in my hand.
I like nervously eat. Well, I've been yelled at before for peeking at my phone.
Well, I know you're not supposed to do it, but usually when I'm in the theater, there's about four people in it. Yeah. So they're not
so
really going to
get
say
away
anything.
With it. Yeah.
Did you see it by yourself?
I did. Well, there were actually a lot of people in the theater. Where I thought, I mean, maybe 100 people.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, because I saw it during the Christmas holiday. So I saw it like on the 27th. So everybody was home. I saw it like at 4:30 at the mall.
Okay, you saw it at 4:30.
You know, I saw it right in the afternoon. And, yeah, there were a ton of people there.
I'm guessing there won't be anybody at Tyson's at 10:30 showing.
No, you should be good. I hope that they're increasing the theaters. I think it was really good. There's one actor in there. I won't tell you who. You can tell me afterwards who I thought was just woeful.
Yeah.
And the scene was just but unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
But Chastain was great. I thought Idris Elba was amazing.
He is my man.
And I don't even know him, really.
Yeah,
but he was really good.
Yeah, I met Idris Elba years ago when I went to...
I feel like he's been on the show before as a caller.
I think he has.
Yeah.
And when he was in The Wire, which I loved.
Right.
And I met one of the prop guys for The Wire. And he said, yeah, come on up for a visit while we're shooting, and I went up there and I met Idris Elba and I met Dominic West. Idris Elba was just a cool dude.
Yeah.
Really nice guy.
He's really good in the film.
Yeah. Now, he plays the lawyer, correct?
Yes.
He plays Molly Bloom's lawyer.
He's really good. And I didn't even know, like, I guess he's British.
So he is British.
You don't have any sense of that.
No.
When you watch him. He's just silly.
He's just
great. He's just that silly. And again, I mentioned before, I wish they mentioned the names of all of the Hollywood guys that partook in this game, but you'll see it.
Did they make it obvious though with
the
names?
They kind of do. No, they don't with the names. They kind of make it a little bit obvious with like the way that they're dressed. I felt like, But so, like, you and I and Valdez and someone, you know, we're poker geeks. We've known about these games. And we all knew that Tobey Maguire was a big – Tobey Maguire is for sure kind of the central celebrity guy that they're kind of talking about in here.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know who he is. At one point, they refer to a rapper. And I thought he looked like Eminem, frankly, the way they had him dressed, just for a brief moment. But I don't know. I was just throwing it out there. But we know Ben Affleck. We know Tobey Maguire. We know Leo DiCaprio. We know A-Rod. Those were guys that were...
I'm surprised they didn't use names that were, like, really similar to the actual actors.
Lemon-em.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, like for Affleck, like Bob Affelt, or, yeah. You know, I'm surprised they didn't do that.
Most of them, they didn't really... Yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember how they referred to him name-wise. But...
Now, did she ever... I should know this. Did she ever serve jail time for that?
I don't want to tell you.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you. I want you to see how it plays out. I don't want to give it away.
Well, I mean,
but here's what I didn't know.
I kind of know the story.
Here's what I didn't know. I didn't realize that she also was a silly skier like Jeremy Bloom. Like, she was like third in the country, won a bronze medal, was on the U.S. like ski team or whatever. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So I can't wait until you see it. You're going to really like it. If you want to book her for tomorrow, I'm good. What is tomorrow? Wednesday? You want to book her for tomorrow? I don't care. I am butt size for this movie. Do we know?
She just texted me something else. Hold on. Let me just
do we know, like, if it's going to be? It did 8,000 per screen, which looks to me to be about, in the top 20 movies, that looks like third best. Now, we'll do the entertainment page later and we'll talk about all the different movies that are out there. But that, like, per screen average, it deserves more theaters. So, and they have enough big sillies in this. I would have thought that they would have opened larger.
Maybe next week it does. Sometimes they do that. They open up, you know, slim, and then they expand it a little bit.
Try to build some momentum for it.
I guess. But I'm not going to wait.
You're going to see it where?
I'm going to see it at Tyson's.
Which one? The big Tyson's? I've never been in that movie theater.
The Regal 14. I don't know. I don't think I've ever
seen
it.
I've never been in that theater. Is it? It's just a standard.
I've never seen a movie there. I hope it's decent.
Right. I can't believe it's not out your way.
I got some gift cards for Christmas.
Gift cards for movies?
Yeah.
Who gave you that?
Were just given to me by family members.
Because they know you get sized.
Because they know I see a lot of movies.
By the way, you were busted the other day at Big O and Duke's. They said you've been hoarding all the Kava gift cards. Oh, yeah. Like a fifth.
Well, no, I hoard them from those guys. I don't hoard them from anybody on this show. They're all jealous because Drab's got is flush with gift cards.
Right. All right. Yeah. The word on the street is.
They're just jealous.
All right.
Believe me, I pass those out.
Have we gotten any new ones? Because I think I'm running low.
Seriously? It's been.
I think we got some right before the break.
No, because
right?
They actually gave us so many, but everyone took their 15, and I think I'm down to like 3.
I still got plenty.
We got them
that.
On the Christmas, on the holiday show.
Yeah.
That was the last time we got some.
Yeah. You had a whole. Remember how many you had?
I had a lot.
You probably had you might have had 100.
I didn't have 100. I had like 10, Rick, and I gave a bunch away.
No. You didn't have 10.
No, we had. Gave us 100.
He sends like 60 or 70 every time he sends them.
They come out to about 8 a piece when you chop them.
Right. He needs to just send them to my house.
By the way, can you believe that?
Give out your address.
Right. So the drinking show was December 8th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we're not back to full strength until January 8th.
Yeah.
We went a month. Without having a four-man show.
You have a silly contract.
Isn't that true?
Well, in theory, I could still take, probably you too, I don't know how your schedule works out, I could probably take off next week a couple days too, because I only actually had 8 days.
I came in and worked on the 26th with you guys, and then the 25th was a Monday.
Yeah.
That's not a vacation day, it's a comp day.
Right. I got 2 days, I'm going to bank them, I guess.
I got 2 days,
Them. And I'm definitely going to use them. Don't think I'm not.
And so am I. So, Drabby, she just texted me. She said, Wednesday or Thursday works. So, what do you want me to say?
Let's do it tomorrow. We're talking
about it
right
tomorrow.
Now.
Yeah, you're going to see it today. You're going to be fired up.
How about Wednesday? How about tomorrow at 9 a.m.?
Perfect.
All right.
Can she do that? What coast is she on?
She lives in Colorado.
So, she could do 9. I mean, get up at 6.
It's actually 7, so it's only a couple hours. She told me she's an early riser anyway.
I'm going to look
her. All right, cool. So, Molly Bloom will be on tomorrow at 9 a.m.
I want to Google her. She's silly.
She's not ugly.
Jessica Chastain is silly.
Yeah.
Actually, she's pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
How old is she?
Molly?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess she's probably early 40s.
Is she like, has she settled down? Does she have like 100 kids or anything? Or like?
I don't know that much about her. You going to ask her?
Right. No, I'm not going to ask her. I just want to know.
I don't.
I'm going to guess she's in her late 30s.
Yeah, could late 30s, early 40s.
All right,
yeah.
So yeah, tell her tomorrow, 9 o'clock.
She was
we'll
born.
Do that.
She was born. I don't have it.
And you'll be at Tyson's for people who want to come and hang out with you. What time? 10:30 today.
Oh, you had to do
they
that.
Sit right next to you.
No, I'm not going to see it there now.
Oh, you're okay,
go somewhere else.
You gonna go to Bethesda? You'll see it in Bethesda.
No, I'm going to see it in Tyson's. It's on the way. It's 20 minutes from here. Let's talk some Washington Wizards. The Wizards have been on a little bit of a hot streak. They've won 4 out of their last 5. They had a great win in Boston on Christmas Day. Then they beat the Rockets here. Beat the Bulls, who've been hot. Did have a little hiccup against the Hawks, but their head coach is Scotty Brooks, presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialist in personal injury law. Coach, what's up, buddy?
Good morning, guys.
How are you, man?
Why'd you have to bring up the Hawks?
Well, because I don't understand how teams lose to bad teams. I mean, can you explain how you lose to the Nets and the Hawks, but you beat the Rockets and the Celtics? Just explain that to me.
Hey, we're just going to talk about our one-game winning streak against teams under 500. We beat the Bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've been surging.
They've been really good.
No, they're good. They should have won last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a good team. They got a lot of good young players.
But in general, I mean, JP and I always kind of goof on each other because, or just goof on the NBA because we just, our motto is it's just the NBA. And you never really know or can predict what's going to happen in just like a regular, early season NBA game. Is that what it is? I mean, I can't put my finger on it.
Well, we're almost at the midway point now.
Yeah, it's not even early, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're 10-10 against teams below 500. It's not great. But it's our last 10, we're 7-3 since John has been back. Some of those games we play without John, which is not an excuse, but it is a fact that he is one of our better players. I really can't put my finger on it either. I think a couple of things, I've heard John talk about, we're playing for stats. I don't really think that's the case because during those games, there's not a spike in stats, guys getting, 30 points at an average 20. I think we've missed a lot of shots down the stretch of games, too. We missed some free throws. We missed shots. I think maybe focus is probably the bigger thing, and hopefully that's behind us because we can't keep affording losing to some of these games that we have been.
Yeah, what is that? Because I wanted to ask you about John's comments about that when he says those things. Because I looked at the stats too, right after. I was like, well, the only guy that really took a bunch of shots, but he always does, was Brad. Is he pointing the finger at Brad? I don't get that sense. I mean, you see these guys all the time. They seem to get along well when I see them interacting. I didn't understand that comment at all. And frankly, I love everything about John Wall. I've said this a million times. He embodies everything I love about sort of a D.C. athlete. He wears his emotions on his sleeves. Like, this guy wants to win for this city. He's such a great leader. But when they have those kind of duds, I feel like John's got to stand up and be responsible. Like, don't point fingers at others. You're the guy. You got to be the leader and make sure everybody else is playing up to their potential.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about John, too. He's passionate. He cares. And, I think he was frustrated with it after the game, which rightfully so he should be. We should have never lost that game.
Right.
Especially after the game before that, playing in Boston on Christmas Day. It was a great game. A total team effort. Defensively, we locked in. And sometimes defensively, we don't lock in, and it's frustrating. And I've tried to figure things out and move guys around a little bit. Hopefully, we've kind of grew up from some of those losses, and we can move on from them. But I don't think he was pointing the finger at one particular guy. I think he was pointing the finger at the entire team, and he was himself included in that. He has to come in and be ready to play against no matter who we play. And like I said, we're 7-3 since John's been back. Hopefully we can keep playing some good basketball and even play better basketball in the coming months.
The good news is, though, how you've been playing against the big boys, right? That's got to really give you some confidence. That win over Houston, I know, was big. And, I'm not going to disparage the Celtics. They're a good basketball team. But they don't look quite as daunting as maybe they were last year.
No, I mean, they had a good stretch early in the season, and then they had some tough games about a month ago. They've had a tough schedule, but we all go through that. You just have to go through it. Every team will have a tough stretch of games. You have to just weather the storm and fight through it against good teams. I think we're 11 or 12 and 6 against teams over 500. So that's, I think we're third in the league against teams over 500. So that's a good sign.
Right.
I know we can compete against any team, and you know, if we're locked in and we're focused on what we have to do, I think we're as good as any team in the league.
So let's talk about the most recent win against the Bulls. You mentioned that you beat them by 4. Now, they had an 8-point lead after the first, so they obviously came out hot and scored almost 40 in that first quarter. And they started out 3-20. Now, they're now 13-23. So what are they? They're 10-3 in their last 13, which is surprising to me. They're not great away from Chicago, but they're playing everyone tough, and they beat some really good teams in that stretch. What was your scout on them? How did you guys prepare for them? Because they've got a couple guys. They got a couple guys who are just stretch fours.
Yeah, those stretch fours are stretch fours. I mean, they shoot the ball so quick and so deep, and you have to be right on them on point. And if you're not, all they need is a split second. Meritek and Markkanen, they're going to be tough to beat. And the point guard, you know, I knew he was pretty good. I saw him a couple of years ago in the summer league. He didn't play that much. I think he was hurt most of, off and on throughout the year.
You mean Chris Dunn?
In Minnesota. Chris Dunn.
Yeah, he's good.
Chris Dunn is a player. He's strong. He's athletic. He reminds me of a young John Wall. He's big, strong, quick, get to the basket, and a decent shooter. But I think he has a chance to be really good. And then LaVine is going to come back, you know, any day now. I think he's playing in the G League right now with them. So that team is going to be really good. They're athletic, and they're young, and they're hungry.
And Bradley went off. I mean, Bradley was 16 for 29, hit 7 threes. I'm sure John was setting him up nice in some of those because John had 9 dimes. But, it, you know, Brad scores a lot, but he had
Brad 9 assists also.
Yeah, he had 9 boards, 9 assists.
Yes. Brad is really, really – he's an all-star. Hopefully he makes it. We're fortunate enough to – you know, we have 2 all-stars on our team in the backcourt, and they're young and they're in their prime, and they're only going to continue to get better. But Brad has really seen a lot of double teams this year more than he's ever has, and he's really improved throughout this season with that, because now he sees a trap and he can maneuver his way and set guys up and get open shots. Because when you trap a guy from 30 feet out, we're playing, you know, 4-on-3 mm-hmm. if we can make a quick pass, and he's done a great job with that.
Did you know Mike Scott was this good when you guys acquired him?
Absolutely not. He is, man, this guy, it seems like every game he does something, you're like, man, I didn't know he could do that.
Right.
He's a quick thinker on the court. He makes good decisions. He moves the ball. He has an open shot. He shoots it. He doesn't very rarely does he take a bad shot. He competes on the defensive end. Guys love playing with him. I think he's terrific. He's been good all year, and you know, he just had a new baby girl, so he's excited on that front, but he's really been terrific for us.
One of our guys here behind the scenes is a huge Wiz fan, and he's noticed Satoransky, I don't know, have a little bit more of an impact lately. Have you seen any difference sort of in him and his practice or his preparation lately? Well, you know.
He's confident. You know, it's when you're a rookie and you're coming from Europe, even though he's played a lot of big games and a lot of seasons overseas, it's different. You're playing against the world's greatest athletes, and they're competitive, and the teams are good. And he's gained some experience last year. He was up and down. But now I think he's consistent in his effort all the time. He cares. I like how he plays. He understands the speed of the game. You know, he's not going to be able to stay up with the quick guards, but he can use his length to stay in front of them and contest their shots. But he sets guys up. He's athletic. You know, he had that dunk a couple of games ago. And that's what he can do. And in an open court, he's really, really good. And he's really played well for us. I'm glad that it's happening, because we need a good, solid play behind John.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Scotty Brooks, head coach of the Wizards, presented by Greenberg and Betterman, specialist in personal injury law. How do you, you know, you've been doing this forever, so I'm sure it's very easy for you, but how do you navigate your schedule, your practice schedule through the holidays? You know, you played on Christmas Day in Boston. You had mentioned, I think, that your family was going to be with you in Boston for Christmas. And then, of course, you got New Year's. How do you kind of navigate the practice schedule and giving guys time to be with their families?
Well, that's part of the job. It's fortunate for us, we're on Christmas Day. I think it's very cool that you can play on Christmas Day. There's only 10 teams that they put on the schedule, but I try to give guys off before Christmas and after Christmas and before New Year's and after New Year's, just to, you know, have them be with their families and enjoy their time with their families, but also understand that we have a job to do. We have to prepare for the next game. So the schedule kind of worked out for us. We played early afternoon on Christmas or New Year's Eve, and then they're off on New Year's Day, and then we practice today. We play the Bulls tomorrow. It's kind of been nice little schedule for us. We got some days off in between some of our games.
Yeah. You got the Bulls tomorrow or the Knicks? Let's play the Knicks.
I'm sorry, the Knicks.
Oh, Knicks tomorrow. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
You feel like you've settled into your rotation pretty good now?
I think so. I'm still trying to, I've been saying this for 2 months now, trying to find some minutes for Jason.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I know about Jason, he's always prepared. He's always practices. He's always ready to play, and he's our biggest supporter on the bench. I love his enthusiasm. I just have to find it. I don't know how I'm going to be able to find it with Mike playing so well. But, you know, he's always ready to play. So if I do call him, I know he's going to give us great effort.
Is there a certain type of guy that you need him to play against? Like, is there a certain type of, you know what I mean? A certain type of lineup?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard with Mike playing so well. You know, you have to make a decision there. Or, you know, I've been thinking about maybe I can play him at the five spot. And mm-hmm. he can. A lot of the centers in the league are now stretch centers, and there are not a lot of
mm-hmm.
bangers and guys that can post up. You know, that's not one of his strengths, guarding a heavy load center type of player. But I could find him some minutes, maybe guarding centers that space the floor, and, you know, because he hasn't shot the ball well this year, but he hasn't got the consistent minutes to be the consistent shooter that he is.
Right, because, you know, I don't know if you know, but the fans love to just kind of scratch their heads with Jan Mahimi, you know, because we want to see offense. We want to see guys do things that, you know, that light up the box score. He doesn't really do that, so I don't know.
Well, no, he doesn't, but, you know, we talk about defense all the time, and he helps our defense. You know, right now, I don't know, I think we're 7th or 8th in defensive field goal percentage, which was huge for us. I think last year we were in the 20s, so that's all part of it. I'm not saying he's the defensive guy every possession, but he helps. He gives us that defensive fiber, and, you know, offensively, that's not something that he brings for us, but he can set screens and move the ball, and, you know, every now and then he can get something around the basket, but he's a defensive guy. He's good in pick and roll defensively, and he can guard smaller players. You know, against the Rockets, I thought he was our guy that stopped, did a great job when we switched on Chris Paul and James Harden.
Right. You know, and I always break your ball. You know, any coach that's, you know, through the years, we've been on the air for a long time, Coach, and people always talk about defense, and that's going to be the point of emphasis, and I remember giving you a hard time when you came here. But I will say that you guys are up to 12th in points allowed. Last year, you're in the 20s, maybe 21, 22. So, I mean, they're, part of it is the league is just a scoring league. Teams are giving up more and more than ever. But as far as amongst your peers, you guys are up there, you know, getting close to the top 10 in defense and points allowed. So, you know, you are making a difference.
We are. I mean, it's still work in progress. It's still, sometimes it's pulling teeth, but it has to be done. I keep telling our guys, I mean, when we are at our best, we're a defensive team. We get the ball off the rim and not through the net, and we can get up and down the court with our speed and our 3-point shooting. I like the way we're shooting the ball right now. We're shooting threes more than ever, and that's good. I think when we shoot in the 30s, we're hard to guard.
Hey, real quick before we let you go, there was a game last Thursday where the Celtics came back from, they were down 25 to Houston and ended up coming back to beat Houston. And
yes.
And there was a controversial call there, a couple calls on Harden because he was called for an offensive foul, I believe. But there was only two refs because one of the refs suffered an injury in pregame, so they only had two refs. And he said, you just can't do that, you know, in a big game like that. You have to have three refs. I mean, what can the league do there? I mean, if a guy gets hurt, he gets hurt. I mean, I'm surprised they don't have an alternate.
In the playoffs, there's an alternate. I don't think you can have an alternate every regular season game.
Yeah,
that'd be a pretty expensive thing to have. But they were up 25 with two refs.
Right.
So they, I mean, it's. I mean, I thought the game came down to not the referees. It came down to execution and making shots, and I think Boston did a great job in the second half, not giving up, and they just kept chipping away.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, you guys are playing well. Let's keep it up. Beat the Knicks tomorrow, and that'll be 8 of 11.
8 of 11.
Yeah.
8 of 11, yes.
There you go.
All right, heading in the right direction. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it, as always.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right, you too, pal.
Scotty Brooks. All right, welcome back. We got to talk some college football because, I mean, the Rose Bowl was just, I mean, if that's not one of the best college football games you'll ever see, it was certainly the best one I saw this year, and I saw some pretty damn good ones. But considering the stage it was on, semifinal game to play for the national championship, unbelievable. We're joined by our good friend Houston Nutt. He was the head coach at Ole Miss and Arkansas and Boise and Murray State. I mean, he's head coach for a lot of years, and now he's working for CBS. He's a college football analyst for CBS. Coach, what's going on, man?
Not much. Not much. Good morning.
How about that Rose Bowl yesterday? I thought.
Oh my goodness!
I had Georgia and Bama winning the games, okay, but I certainly didn't have Georgia winning in a shootout. I thought it would be more of a typical SEC type of game. I didn't think that Oklahoma would move the ball so easily in the first half. Which
you
they
had
did.
To be nervous with the way Oklahoma was playing.
Oklahoma was carving them up, but you know they just couldn't stop Georgia. And then one of the biggest plays, and I talked about it earlier, Coach. One of the biggest plays was that last play at the end of the first half when they squibbed it and gave Georgia an opportunity to go in down 14 instead of 17. I thought that was huge.
It was so huge. It was so huge. And I know if Lincoln had that to do over again, you say just kick it and go cover it. Hindsight's 20/20. But you're right. That's really swung. Going instead of going that dressing room feeling real, real good, you're thinking, boy, now the momentum has shifted. Yeah. And to get those 3 points was so crucial. But you're right. You know, boy, Oklahoma, boy, the first few plays is like, man, can Georgia stop these guys? They look so sharp, razor sharp, Baker Mayfield doing his thing. And if you'd have told me Rodney Anderson's going to get over 200 yards rushing, I'm going to say, well, hey, this game's over.
Yeah.
It's all over. So it's just a heck of a football game. You didn't want it to end. And, man, what a game.
Incredible. I'll tell you what, Georgia looked lost on defense in the first half, so they obviously made some great adjustments at halftime because they forced 6 punts in the second half, which I thought was shocking. What did you notice about their defense and their game plan in the second half as opposed to the first half where they couldn't stop Oklahoma?
To me, it was real critical what Georgia did. If you look real closely at this thing, and I ran it back a couple of times last night, Georgia did a great job of keeping Baker in the pocket. If you look at the outside edge rushers, they rushed to a certain point and kind of held that wall, that edge right there. And, you know, when Baker's the most dangerous, as y'all know, we've seen it time and time again on every highlight all year long, it's when he gets outside of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets outside of the pocket, he's so good with his head and eyes down the field, he makes play after play. Well, he couldn't. Didn't get out of the pocket. Well, they kept that thing so bottled up, got him sacked. Got Baker, which was, to me, got him in some unfamiliar territory, 2nd and 17, 2nd and long, 3rd and long, over and over and over. Those three and outs, starting punting in the second half was huge for Georgia, huge. And so I thought they did that. I thought they mixed up a few blitzes. And then the secondary, got to give them credit. But to me, it was about the line of scrimmage and what the edge rushers did that really changed the game.
Did you think Oklahoma got a little conservative in the overtimes?
You know, it did surprise me. It did surprise me that the couple runs up the middle, the first few handoffs were up the middle. It didn't seem like it didn't seem like them. I really probably thought they'd come out and keep doing what they normally do, and that's. It's a gunslinger mentality with Baker Mayfield, who's been so good. And to answer your question, I was really surprised a little bit.
Yeah,
me too.
Georgia's running game was incredible. Now, we knew Oklahoma's defense out of the four teams in the playoffs was the worst unit. We knew that. All right. I mean, these holes were huge. These were gaping holes that Michelle and Chubb were running through, untouched most of the time. I mean, the linebackers were taking bad angles, shooting the wrong gap, and then you had safeties taking bad angles, bad tackling. Man, I mean, I knew Oklahoma's defense was bad, but not that bad. They were terrible against the run.
Yeah, and I want to go. I want to add one more accolade to the freshman quarterback, Jake Fromm, and the offensive coordinator Chaney.
Mm-hmm.
He made two checks, guys. There was a couple of times where, if you look closely, he made a check that changed the play from either it was going to the left. He switched it to the right. He saw a big opening there. And, man, the blocking was outstanding, and that's the gas you're talking about with Sony Michel.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you got to give a lot of credit to the freshman quarterback and the offensive coordinator that had this guy so in tune as a freshman to make that call at the line of scrimmage. And that's a coach on the field now at an early age, so I got to give him a lot of credit. But, again, Oklahoma, we knew this going in. They hadn't seen this caliber of running back coming downhill, guys. Downhill, over and over and over. That's not the league they're in.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah,
and so that's a tremendous switch now for them.
Yeah, I mean, anytime Oklahoma scored and went up 14 or 17, you just kind of felt like Georgia could still come back and move the ball pretty easily.
Right, right. And again, I think it goes back to what you said earlier. You get that 3 points at the end of the first half. That was key. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see Chubb breaking a tackle, and he goes 40. And then here comes Sony Michel. He goes 35-40. I mean, both these guys well over 100 yards. I mean, just outstanding. And the quarterback does just enough. You know, hit a few. I thought he made a few plays there on the run that were just – I really hadn't seen that many times he did that this year. Under duress, making some really good decisions, like throwing the pass to one of the backs there.
Yep.
In a crucial third down play. That was huge. Just things like that. But you're right. You always felt like, you know, hey, Georgia's down, and you feel like they can score too, and you know they can run the ball. So, but, boy, this was such a fun game to watch. You didn't want it to end, man.
Oh, man, it was fun. Real quick, before we get to the Bama-Clemson game, what's your thought on Baker Mayfield at the next level?
I think this, guys, if he can get to a team that wants to go and run this type of offense, fine. But if you think you're going to take Baker Mayfield and turn him into a NFL, let's get up under the center, Baker, and let's do a true NFL I formation team, that's not him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not him. I think when you go back and look at the Robert Griffins and the Johnny Manziels of the world, Baker Mayfield is a heck of a player. There's no question about it. But I think this type of offense, and what I mean is he's not 6'4". You know, he's a stocky guy, probably 6'1". But he needs to be in the gun. He has to have different launching points. And I just think unless you major in this offense, I don't see it. I don't see it. I think you got to cater to him a little bit on the kind of offense you run with Baker Mayfield.
Hmm. All right, so switching over to the Sugar Bowl and the Bama-Clemson game, you know there was just so much extra motivation, if you need the extra motivation on Bama's end, because, you know, they were hearing it. They heard it all throughout the winter. They heard the fact that Clemson was the defending champion and maybe there's a changing of the guard. This was a big game, not just for the team, but for Saban, because, you know, Saban loses this game. That's 2 out of 3. He loses to Sweeney, and maybe, you know, people do say, hey, Sweeney's the best coach in college football now. But that didn't happen, and Bama's defense was awesome. They got a little healthier, and, man, did they come after Kelly Bryant.
I think you hit on something that's so true. And, you know, all coaches use motivation. But if you listen to the players after the game, how many times did a player say, we felt disrespected?
Mm-hmm.
We felt disrespected. We're not supposed to be in the playoffs. So you know this, guys. There's no doubt about it. Coach Saban used all of that. He used all of those things. When he shut the door and you get in that meeting and say, hey, we're not supposed to be here. I don't like the way we played the last 60 minutes that we all were on the field together.
Yeah.
And he used all those things. And every time we come to Sugar Bowl, they say we're not going to win. Their mindset, you know, Coach Saban used the word, he used the adjective ferocious. His defense was ferocious. Well, I'm going to add violent. I'm going to add razor sharp. I'm going to add a lot of other words, too, because those yards were hard to come by, guys. There was no first down. There's no easy first downs. Even on the third quarter miscue between Jalen Hurt and Damian Harris when the turnover, just what Clemson needed, a turnover, right, guys? A 20-yard line going, we're going to get – they don't get 7 points.
Yeah, right.
They don't get the defense comes in and puts the fire out. I mean, I hate that Anthony Jennings got hurt because that guy – was to me such a force on the edge. You talk about disruptive now. And he looked at the injury, looks really bad. I hope he's okay. But all these guys, Payne, the front was just so razor sharp. They look, well, they look so good.
All right, we got 20 seconds left, Coach. Real quick, who do you like in the Bama Georgia game?
Well, it's Bama. It's Bama, guys, because of this. Georgia, have a lot of respect for them. They're coming from California, about three time zones. They're probably just now getting in. I think it's going to be a great ball game, but I just feel like right now Bama has the edge.
Coach, you're the best. Let's talk maybe next week, okay?
Thank you, Coach.
Let's do it. All right, thank y'all, guys.
All right, thank you, buddy.
That's Houston Nutt, CBS bye-bye. Sports.
He's got great enthusiasm for the game. He's just a fun guy to talk to.
He's just a good old ball coach, man.
Right?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.